Thank you, Sarah. Let's pray. God speaks, we listen. Father, just as we've sung, we ask for your help. We thank you that you are a speaking God, and we pray that you'd help us to listen as we look at your word together now. And please show us again why it's worth trusting and obeying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is great. God is great. That's the message of this psalm. It's a celebration of how great God is. In fact, he's so amazing that we want to tell the whole world about him. The trouble is, if we're honest, we're often embarrassed of him. Being known as a Christian can feel very awkward. Talking about the Women's World Cup football final, for example, feels far easier. They're just about to kick off, so no doubt later we'll want to know what's happening, what's the score. We'll talk about it. I think that singing Football's Coming Home is probably easier than singing Christ is Coming Back. So we need convincing that God really is great and that it's worth telling others about him. So what I want to do this morning is persuade you from the Bible with two reasons, two big truths about God, to not only trust him, but to share him with others. The first is this: the Lord saves. The Lord saves. In this psalm, King David commands us to sing God's praises, to tell how he saves us, to tell all peoples the miracles he does. Why should we do that? Well, because the Lord is great. He should be praised. He should be honored more than all the gods. All the gods of the nations are only idols. When King David lived 3,000 years ago, and long before that, peoples and nations competed over whose god was best. And sometimes they would battle it out, hoping that their god would prove himself to be the greatest. Going back, way back to the time of Moses, perhaps you remember when God turned Aaron's staff, his stick, into a snake. And that was a sign from God that God was the true God. And Pharaoh's musicians said, we can do that too. But Aaron's snake swallowed theirs up. Because God is greater. And God then showed his power in the plays that followed, you'll remember. Or maybe you know the story of when God's enemies stole the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark that contained the Ten Commandments and was very precious because it showed God's people that God was with them. So to steal it made them and God look weak. The enemies placed it in their temple before their god, Dagon. What would God do? Well, the first night, he knocked Dagon over. So the people had to pick him up. It was pathetic. And the second night, God knocked Dagon over again. And this time, his head and his hands fell off. That was the Lord's way of saying, other gods are no match for me. Dagon's just a statue. He can't even help himself up, let alone help others. David says, all the gods of the nations are idols. They're fakes, they're pretend. But the Lord made the heavens. The Lord made heaven and earth. He lives and helps and saves his people. And when God's people got the ark back and took it up to God's city, Jerusalem, it was this psalm that David sang to celebrate. I'm sure most of you will have seen or at least heard of Britain's Got Talent, where Simon Cowell and the judges take their seats, and we judge too with our cheers and boos in the audience, whether live or at home. Perhaps you feel nervous for the contestants before they start. It's a big stage, live to the world. I question what they'll do next week. There's no point in being a one-hit wonder. You need to save the best or last for the final. Well, imagine with me God's got talent. God's got talent, where different gods perform miracles to prove their worth. Will the true God please step up and show himself? If the Lord stepped up, he would see off the competition every time. He could do the one with the snakes and smash Dagon to pieces. And as for Baal, well, that god wouldn't even turn up. Do you remember on Mount Carmel, Elijah set a contest? Baal versus the Lord God. The worshippers of Baal pleaded with him again and again to show his power by sending fire. Only to find he wasn't really there, no matter how much they danced and prayed. Whereas God sent fire from heaven in an instant. The Old Testament is packed full of miracles where God shows his greatness. Having enough miracles is not a problem for God. And then fast forward to the New Testament, and he saves the best till last with Jesus. God himself comes to earth and shows himself as the God who saves. Well, the judges are waiting. The crowds are waiting to be wowed. And they say, well, come on, Jesus, give us a sign. Moses got manna from heaven and water from the rock. What are you going to do? Jesus had only just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, showing himself to be God's son sent from heaven. Not that he came to be a people pleaser or a party trick performer. He came to save us. And his greatest miracle was to die on the cross and rise again. He gave his life to bring help where we needed it most, saving us from turning away from God. He saved others. Why can't he save himself? People joked as he hung on the cross. But it was that most amazing act in not saving himself that he saved us. That's how he did it. It's easy to laugh at the fake gods of the Old Testament that were made of wood and metal and stone. I take it we know those things can't help us. In some countries today, though, people still make statues and worship them, asking them for health and wealth and success. It's easy to look down on them and laugh. But you know, we do just the same thing. The gods of Western culture may look different, but we still ask money to make us happy. We look to beauty and popularity for our worth. We want career, marriage, family to fulfill us, only to find that those gods are just as worthless and just as unable to help as other created things. They may be good things, but we make them into God things when we depend on them for identity and worth. And God says, I am your maker. I know you. I know what you need. Only I can save you from fake gods, from sin, and satisfy your longing for real life that lasts. The Lord saves, time and again, from generation to generation. But ultimately, best of all, in Jesus. That really is good news to tell the world. Because everything else that our friends look to for peace and joy and happiness falls short. But the Lord saves. That's the first big truth to take away. Secondly, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. That's the second reason to trust God and tell others about him. The Lord reigns. What does that mean? Well, that God is king and he's the judge. That's what David calls us to declare in verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. He will judge the peoples with equity, with fairness. If you weren't so sure about my God's Got Talent game show, you're onto something. Because, well, we might want to see God's power, to know that he's real, but he doesn't perform miracles on demand, and he doesn't have anything to prove. But it's also the wrong way round, because it's God who sits on the judgment seat, not us. The idea of God as judge can be troubling. It's one of the reasons we might feel embarrassed or awkward about being a Christian, a hot potato topic to avoid. I'll have to explain that one later. But did you notice how positive the psalm is about God's judgment? Did you see that? How positive the psalm is about God's judgment. The seas, the fields, and the trees are all singing for joy. Not literally, it's poetry. Maybe I'll explain that one as well. If you've ever seen a singing tree, I'd love to speak to you afterwards, but I'll probably be sending you down to Specsavers. But God's rule is so good that it's as if all creation is celebrating together. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness, in his faithfulness. God's judgment is good because God knows what he's doing and he judges rightly and fairly. When Christ returns, he will put all wrongs to right. Just think of the evil and the scandal and the suffering in our world. We see it on the news every day. Bad leaders who use their power to bully and harm. Christians who are treated very badly just for believing in Jesus. God is going to bring true justice and sort it all out. But the problem is that the problems are not just out there. They're in here as well. They're in our hearts. That's where sin begins. It comes from inside each one of us. If the world's a stage, God's stage, and we're on it, if we're not judged but God is, what does he make of our performance? The way we've lived our lives? None of us would meet his approval because we all fall short of his standards. But again, there's good news here because God has found a way to save us while staying fair and just. And it's this, by judging Jesus instead. Stick with the football theme. It's just like a substitution in football, where the substitute takes our place and plays our part. Jesus' life on earth was the perfect performance, if you like. He offers his perfect life for us as a gift, so that we stand innocent before God, the judge, and he is punished instead of us. Therefore, we are forgiven. We can be friends with God forever if we trust in Jesus' death in our place. So it's not a case of trying harder, being better. That won't work. And God can't just let us off as if it doesn't matter. That wouldn't be right because sin must be punished and justice must be done. But Jesus' sacrifice means that God can show mercy and bring justice at the same time. So the Lord's reign is actually good news. It's something to celebrate. It's why Christians look forward to the time when he will come to judge the earth. On that day, he will be seen and honored for who he is, and we will enjoy his kindness fully. The Lord reigns. That's got to be worth singing and talking about. So the next time you get a chance to speak about God and you're tempted to let it slide or run a mile, remember, the Lord saves and the Lord reigns. No other God can do that, whether gods of other religions, money or popularity, beauty or reputation. God offers a place in his kingdom under his perfect rule for us and all our friends, for the whole world, for all who would trust in Jesus. But his offer needs to be accepted, and they won't hear about it unless we go and tell them. And fortunately, we're not on our own. God's Spirit helps us, and we help each other. So together, let's tell the world how great God is. Are you convinced? We'll see. Come and tell me afterwards whether you agree or you don't. Do you believe it? Our God saves,
and our God reigns. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful psalm, this celebration of how great you are. Thank you that you save. Thank you that you reign. Help us to believe it, to see that salvation is found in Jesus alone, that he really does reign. And may we show that we believe it by trusting in him and sharing that message with others. In Jesus' name we pray.